Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. And yes, the fan-sided partnership is soon. That means more episodes, more reach. We will tell you everything about that as soon as we officially launch it. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel, and that gives me an opportunity to thank some folks. You may be aware, if you've been following on Twitter, that some of the people in the Five Reasons Sports Network have left to start their own thing. We wish them well. Special appreciation to Royal Shepherd, who held it down, hosting pretty much 100 post-game shows on Post Up 5R this past season. I can tell you there is a plan for post-game next year. We will tell you about it as it goes forward. But I want to thank Royal, Ariel, also Kendall, Threat, Twan, and all of that crew for everything that they contributed here on the network. And again, we wish them well. And on the Dolphin side, also to Juan and Kai. Also, check out fivereasonssports.com. We do not have a paywall, unlike the newspapers. You get Brady Hawk's latest piece about Victor Oladipo. That is on there right now. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. And that includes Prize Picks. Make sure you're using that code FIVE. You know what? I've decided I'm just going to cut this promotion short this week. Okay, so you got to do this by Friday because I want to give away some T-shirts. They're burning a hole in my pocket right now. Well, I don't really carry T-shirts in my pocket, but the money that I use for them is. So check out Prize Picks. Use the code 5FIVE. You get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Everybody knows about Prize Picks. I don't have to tell you any more about it at this stage. It is the best fantasy product. You can bet plenty of things on there, even with the NBA not going on right now. The NFL props are up. If you want to play MLB or the MLB All-Star Game, that's on there as well. Home Run Derby, all that cool stuff. Go to Prize Picks, use the code 5. But if you do it this week, send me a screenshot, okay, of your sign up. You get your initial deposit matched up to $100. You can send it to Five Reasons Sports Twitter account. And when you do so, I will enter you in a contest for one of three Five Reasons T-shirts that we're giving away. They could be any T-shirt, any of the Heat shirts, any of the Five Reasons shirts, any of the Dolphin shirts, Panther shirts. We will give away a free T-shirt to the first three people that sign up for Prize Picks and send that to me by DM. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into Five on the Floor. Welcome back. Here's today's floor plan. I've got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. I've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. And yes, we've got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. He is alive. And I did pump out another article today about Victor Oladipo. So I know that everybody is looking for more transaction news. Our last two episodes, we did that. We did Kevin Durant. We did Donovan Mitchell. Greg, before we get on to today's topic, which is going to be a little bit different, is there anything new today? Because I was at a water park in the Catskills, so I wasn't able to follow as closely.
The short answer is no. Moving on.
Picked a good day for that. All right, so let's get to the topic today. And here is this. We all know what the Heat are trying to do right now. There are no secrets about that. They want Durant or they want Mitchell. I've compared it a little bit to the Elton Brand, Lamar Odom situation from 2004. But in the meantime, other teams have done stuff. And the Heat really haven't done anything. Like, they've re-signed Oladipo. They re-signed Dwayne Dedmon, possible tradable contract. They re-signed Caleb Martin. But they allowed, I mean, basically, because they had some role in it, PJ Tucker to walk. So they are not as good as they were last year at this moment. Okay. I mean, there's no way around that. They are not as good. Okay. There's nothing in summer league. We did a whole summer league episode with Sean Rochester, who will be part of our expansion here. And there's really nothing that's popped. Okay. That we think is a player who's going to give them a lot this year, maybe a Haywood Highsmith, maybe, but again, we're talking role players. Okay. There's nobody Jovic is not ready to contribute in that kind of way. And so I think what we need to do is we need to be honest about this and look at the rest of the Eastern Conference and just say, okay, at this moment, the Heat, who were the number one seed and were 4 points away from validating that and getting to the NBA finals have slipped behind some other teams right now. So we haven't prepped this. I'm just going to go around and allow each of you to pick a team that you think is concerning for Miami. I'm going to start here with Brady.
I hate to be the guy that takes the easy answer, but I feel like we just have to start with the Boston Celtics, the team that just beat them in the Eastern Conference Finals, the team that just was in the finals. And I guess they just made the biggest move when you look at the top teams in the East. Like, they just added Malcolm Brogdon, which changes the dynamic of their team. And you look at one of the issues which happened in the Eastern Conference Finals, and more specifically the finals, turnover problems. Like, it was Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that couldn't handle the ball. There were times when Miami was just like very happy defensively when it was Marcus Smart bringing the ball down because they knew they could kind of waste some time in the half court. Now you have a decent point guard that can do things on both ends, can get you settled offensively, not having Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum bring the ball down. So that's a team that got better. That's a team that was just in the finals and definitely got better, because not only did they get a pretty decent player to add into their starting mix. And I know some other people were talking about maybe him being six man. So I guess throw that in there too. I don't really know how their lineup would look. But it's just interesting when looking at just roster construction at this current moment, because on paper, that's probably the best team in the East right now, in my opinion. Like, we talk a lot about internal improvement. They're going to have internal improvement. A team that just went to the finals right there with Tatum and Brown are going to get better. And they added to that mix, and they're still going to have their returning big man front court with defensive versatility with Robert Williams and Al Horford. Robert Williams is another guy that's basically going to continue to get better. So that's kind of the worry right now, is that they plugged some of their holes that they had in the finals. And now, to compare it to what the Heat are doing, it's time for them to plug their holes in what they didn't have in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's scoring. And that's the two guys that we keep talking about on this podcast as trade targets, because that's what this time of year is about. It's just about kind of plugging the hole that led to you coming up short wherever you kind of stopped.
Alex, you follow on Boston here, and then I'm going to allow Greg to pick the next team. Here's my question with it, because I think Brady hit it. Two of the holes that Boston had were pure playmaker to pair with Smart in the backcourt and take some pressure off of Tatum and Brown, and then some additional front court scoring, which is particularly off the bench, which they didn't have. We talked about their weakness on the bench. Gallinari is good for maybe 45 games before he gets hurt, but I mean, you figure he is a guy who can give them scoring during that period of time. Tell me a way that the Heat can pass Boston without getting Durant in Mitchell or Mitchell. Is there any way, is there any viable roster option that is going to make them better than the Celtics are right now?
Well, other than I'm going to throw Kyrie Irving into there as well, right? Like, I guess we're not throwing him into
No.
Okay. Just to make sure we got...
Give me some path other than getting a guy who's as good as Jimmy and Bam.
You land John Collins or Harrison Barnes, somebody who I think is a real offensive threat at the four position as a kind of counterbalance to what you had in PJ last year at that position as a starter. But even then, I don't know that that's enough to overtake them in the regular season. I just think that's probably the best you can do after potentially missing out on those stars. And just looking at the Celtics, looking at the Bucks, looking at the Sixers. I know we're gonna talk about them more in depth now, but and just being like, you know, we were still able to match up with these teams, and we replaced one starting power forward with another. So I think that's kind of the best case scenario if they miss out on the stars. But the Celtics thing, I was going to start with them too. So it's good that you lobbed me up there, because other than Brogdon and, you know, getting Gallinari too, who I'm like super high on him, but they absolutely needed the bodies there, specifically at the four. And I think somebody who can shoot for them, that was kind of one of their concerns other than turnovers is consistent shooting. And I think Gallinari is going to feast off pretty open looks and pretty open occasional lanes, and you know, he will post up a smaller guy, take advantage of that, shoot over them. So I just think like he's going to be able to get into his bag a little bit easier there, even though he's going to be somebody whose minutes probably get cut short during the playoffs. They need the depth, because they were kind of, you know, rolling with 7-8 deep during the regular season, the Celtics were last year. So that's a nice one for them. And Brogdon, you know, the one thing I will say, he played, I think, 56 games last season, and the two before, he played in around 35 each. So he's someone who definitely has injury concerns. He's somebody who could be out for the playoffs, right? Like, he's one of those types of players where you don't know when throughout the season he is going to be at his healthiest. So I think that's the one thing that Heat fans can look towards and be like, hey, it's not all bad, but right, because he might not be healthy for the playoffs, but he's a really good fit for them. He gets to the rim a little bit. He's a very good shooter, a solid defender. You know, he's not going to be a pure point guard for them. He probably will come off the bench, but it's like they have a lot more options now, right? If one of Smart or White is not hitting, they can just throw Brogdon in there. He could be one of their closers. Like, it's they got a lot better, and I still think that the Heat can patch it up even if they miss out on one of these stars. But it's going to end up having to be a matchup thing, and the matchup became more difficult than last season.
All right, I'm going to let Greg weigh in after the break here. I think my biggest concern with the Celtics right now is that it's exactly what Alex said. It's that we thought that the Heat's advantage over them last year was depth. That's where it was supposed to come, that really Udoka could only trust maybe six or seven players. Derek White had some moments against Miami, but he was inconsistent. You don't even need to play him now. I mean, really. I mean, they will, but you don't really need to, because Brogdon's going to sop up those minutes if he plays. I think that also you're also talking about a team that just is going to benefit from the finals experience. They are, to me, by far the most problematic team for the Heat in the East, except for the one that I'm going to mention next. Okay, so I will get to that here in a second. Before we do, I want to tell you about another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Water Cleanup of Florida. We tell you about them all the time, because if you've got mold damage, if you've got fire damage, if you've got water damage, they are the place to go. They're based in Boca Raton, but they service the entire area, all of South Florida. They do the best job. They're fully licensed. They're a one-stop shop. We've told you about them all the time. They got more than 60 years of combined experience with Michael, Robert, and their team. But I want to tell you a personal anecdote. You know, there was some work at my family's house that needed to be done. Michael came right over. Well, after we assessed the work, he's like, I don't really think we're the right fit for this particular job for you at this time. So he didn't take the job. Okay. And I think as you're looking right now for honesty, particularly if you've got a crisis, you don't want somebody taking a job who can't do the job or doesn't think and they can do the job. And then all of a sudden you're stuck having to somebody else do the job to clean up the job that was not done correctly. Okay. So reach out to Michael anytime on his personal cell phone. He'll give you an honest answer. Mention Five Reasons when you do so. 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or check them out at watercleanupflorida.com or watercleanupflorida on Instagram or any of those spots. We say this all the time. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
All right. So I'm going to go next here. The Bucks are a problem, I think.
I'm glad you said it, because that's where I'm wanted to go.
Yeah. I mean, you and I can tag team on this one. I mean, to me, I still believe that if Middleton was healthy, they go to the finals this past year, and assuming health for him and Holiday, and there's no reason not to. I mean, both guys came off of incredibly long seasons. I mean, we made excuses for the Heat, I think reasonably so, for what happened the previous year. Those guys went all the way to June. They won a championship. Then they went straight to the Olympics. Injuries were bound to happen. Okay, they did with Middleton at the end. Giannis is still at the peak of his powers. He's only getting better. He's becoming more efficient as an outside shooter. I love the Joe Ingles pickup for them. Provided that he's back to full health, he just fits them. He gives them toughness. He can handle. He can shoot. He's going to be a they have had problems kind of filling extra backcourt spots in recent years. So they re-signed Wes Matthews, but now they don't need to play him. So I just feel like if you take a look at what they've got now, they re-signed Bobby Portis. They've got another kind of year with him in the fold now. They've adjusted to Tucker leaving. I still think they are the team to worry about in the Eastern Conference. They have the best player. Okay. They have the best player, and they have a perfect complementary team around him that has won a championship. It's going to be hungry this year after what happened last year. The Heat have to get past the Bucks. So I will ask you this question, Greg, same question I asked Alex about Boston. If you do not get Durant, Mitchell, Kyrie, okay, is there any conceivable path to feeling that this team is better than Milwaukee?
I think it's really funny that you give me the Kyrie option, but Alex didn't get it. That makes it more difficult for him. No, I'm joking. I'm not even going there. Kyrie is not really an option, I don't think. I actually think Milwaukee, that there's multiple paths to actually beating that particular team matchup wise, because you have Bam Adebayo, and that's just something that not every roster has. But let's be real. Like, if you go back to game five of Boston versus Milwaukee, they had that incredible close to that game. They won on Boston's home floor. Drew Holiday came up huge at the end there with the steal. I think it was forcing a turnover, something like that. I don't remember exactly the sequence, but, and then they kind of fell off a cliff the last two games, but they're getting back Chris Middleton. He wasn't in that series, obviously. If you look back to these box scores, because I was just peeking here, Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis were really the only playable two guys off the bench. Grayson Allen and Wes Matthews were the other two guys that were kind of just being carried along to try to have functional players. So to me, I think Milwaukee is right up at the top of the conference alongside Boston. Giannis is that good. He is unbelievable. And only because the Heat have Bam, if they were to make it a significant front court addition, because let me just say, if they go into the regular season with this exact roster right here, the Heat are not better than any of these teams. And we could add a couple more to the list in the Eastern Conference, but definitely not better than Milwaukee. They have to make a front court addition in order to be viable, but Bam gives them a shot against Milwaukee, in my view.
All right, we're going to get to the couple other teams after the break. Before we do, another great sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network, is another one where we give you money. Better Edge. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons. That's with an O, betteredge.com/5reasons. You get $20 to play there. This is peer-to-peer betting. What does that mean? That you're playing against basically friends. You can pick the line that you want. You don't have to pick just what the sports book gives you. This is based here in the United States. It's not an offshore book, so you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And again, you can find the line that you want. You will get paid. It's legal in 45 states. That's why we decided to go with it. Okay, so check out betteredge.com/5reasons. Lots of stuff you can bet on there right now, but get ready for NFL season, because we're doing a full blitz on you once the NFL season starts. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons. Get your $20 and play around with it today. All right, other teams here. Alex, I will let you start here. Who else concerns you?
Oh, man, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, Ethan.
I was waiting for this.
Don't say them.
You're trying to get me to say it, and there's a reason that I said in my last answer that I was going to go on with the Celtics too, man, because look, I'm not going to – I will not say that the Philadelphia Sixers –
Process my request, Fred. Process my request.
I will not say that the Philadelphia 76ers are concerning. What I will say is
– Wait, hold on. Can we clip that? The Philadelphia – take out the I will not say.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia 76ers are concerning. What minute is this at?
Do you want me to edit my own – take and put it out there? Yeah, all right. But no, the Sixers absolutely undeniably got better. The thing for me is, like, you know, I'll see it when I believe it, when it comes to them and their playoff success, because it feels like they're one of those teams that's like destined to hit the wall every time, especially when the top of the East is as good as it is. I just, you know, I'll see it when I believe it, if they're going to beat one of those teams. Now, when it comes
to, I think it's believe it when you see it, but either way, it just says the Philadelphia 76ers are concerned.
Dog, you still got the guts.
You're right. But, you know, classic me screwing up commonly used phrases here. But really, the Sixers, like, with adding PJ Tucker, adding D'Anthony Melton, adding Daniel House, you know, like, they added depth as well. Like we were talking about with the Celtics, they have more bodies now. That was a big problem for them as well. Tucker is going to make them bigger because they're probably going to start him with Tobias. And so it's a lot less pressure on Tobias to be this power forward who has to play up. Now he can kind of go back to offensively, defensively being that three, right? And I just think PJ is in a good position there, for as much as I hate to say it. Like I said, I don't believe that they're going to be good enough to beat those other teams. I think the Heat, as it stands right now, like I said, they got to replace PJ at the four. And from there, I think they have a real shot with the Sixers. But Sixers on paper are absolutely the better team than the Heat right now. I'm just not going to say that they're concerning.
On paper.
You did say they were concerning.
Exactly, on paper. That's just like last season when people were going into that second round and they had on paper the two best players in the series. So that's what they're about, on paper.
I'm sitting here in the basement of a house in upstate New York. And I can say, as I'm sitting here in this basement, that you said the Philadelphia 76ers are concerning. Did you not say that?
I didn't hear it.
I heard it. All right. Brady, give me another team.
There are a couple of teams I guess we could throw in here, but I guess the biggest one to talk about right now is the Hawks, just because they're actually a team that made an addition. Like, we can talk about the Raptors types or Cleveland types, but they're not concerning in any way. They'll have young player improvement. But the Hawks did get better. Like, and at this stage, and we could talk about John Collins trades or different things like that, but right now they have a pretty solid starting five of Trae Young, Deontay Murray, if they elect to go Hunter, Collins, Capella, like, and Bogdanovich off the bench. That's a pretty decent starting five to at least start with. And if they do move Collins, I think the big thing for that team right now is they probably need some extra depth down the backside of the rotation. So if you flip Collins, you get some extra assets to kind of add in around the edges. It's a decent group. Deontay Murray balances a lot of things Trae Young does. He can play off the ball a little bit. He can defend. He can get to the rim. So there's a lot of things I like, I guess, with that pairing. But I wouldn't say they're concerning. Like, it's same thing with Alex talking about Philly. Like, this is not a concerning group if you're facing them. We saw what they just did in the first round. DeJounte Murray adding to that piece is not going to make a difference. But it is, I will say, with a lot of this, we keep bringing up, like, not adding in the Durant Mitchell stuff. Like, a lot of these matchups are very bad if you're talking about not having the Mitchell Durant stuff. Because let's just say you do add the Mitchell piece in, and let's just go back to Milwaukee. Even if you have Mitchell on that team, it's not a great matchup because you're playing Caleb Martin as the matchup for either Giannis or Brook Lopez. Like, that's where you sit right now. So it's like, if you're talking about this current team, it's not a great matchup, but I think we all expect them to add a certain front court piece. So then things kind of change. But I'd say, I guess next on this list would be Atlanta, just the things they can provide, the offense they can provide. And I guess the flexibility, I guess, for them to make a move and actually get maybe a little bit better after that. But it seems like, and I know Greg can probably speak on this a little bit more, if John Collins was to get moved, and let's say it's not Miami, it may be more draft pick surrounded than maybe a bunch of good rotation players surrounded.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to go next.
I don't see John Collins. And I mean, he's like destined to end up in a rebuilding situation like Utah or something like that, flipped in all of these different transactions. So I think you're onto something there, and they could just hold on to him. I mean, he was just sitting at Summer League with all of the rest of the guys. Speaking of that, I know we saw Tyler earlier in Summer League. I know Bam was there sitting next to Spoelstra tonight. Bam ain't going nowhere, y'all. There's no other teams. Like, what are we doing? Like, I don't see it. New York is a joke.
No love for the Raptors, huh?
No, I mean, yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
They're always competitive, but I don't believe that. I don't know.
I think you're underestimating them.
All the young guys have to take their lumps. Jason Tatum had to take his lumps. Scottie Barnes is going to have to take his lumps. So whatever y'all can project them to do, I don't see them going that far in the playoffs yet, because that guy
needs, as it stands right now, that Heat Raptors matchup, as it stands right this second, would be really tough. They're a better roster.
Oh, no. Listen, the Heat, as presently constructed, are probably seventh in the Eastern Conference right now because of how bad they are up front, I personally think. And so they would have to really prove me wrong otherwise. So that's the risk here. And we actually talked about this on Off the Floor, our subscriber feed on Winnow. That this was like one of the best teams that Pat Riley ever had and then took this type of risk. Like, usually when he's taking this type of risk, it's like on Gordon Hayward or Kevin Durant when you've got Hassan Whiteside and a bunch of people you don't really know about. Or so it's not like you're
jeopardizing. Greg, he took a huge risk in 05.
That's true.
He took a huge risk, but the difference was they dictated the terms of the risk.
Well, Shaq and Dwayne were there.
But he also made all the trades like in one. They made a trade in one day. Like,
and 04 was a big risk.
Well, right, but here's the thing. Like, they waited. They did everything in one day that time. Like, he had that whole thing set up. He made a huge risk in 2000. I mean, breaking up the Jamal Mashburn group, okay, and flipping for Eddie Jones and Mason and Brian Grant on the same day, getting rid of Mashburn and PJ Brown. But again, these were moves that were made in one day. This is like you're waiting on Godot. Okay, nobody's going to understand that. But look, because I'm old. But basically, like, this is just, they're waiting and people are just, I mean, the trains are passing them by. Okay, so we're all in favor of it. Like, we all understand it. We all get it. But I think the purpose of this episode is the crash could be significant if it doesn't work out, because I think you're wrong about it. I think Toronto is going to be really good this year. That was a young team that was very thin last season. But I think now that they've been able to groom some depth, Scotty Barnes is the real deal. I think that guy's an all-star in 2 years. Siakam had a great season last year. Precious played well for them. I think Van Vliet has a bounce back season for them this year. And so to me, that's a huge, I think they're going to be really interesting. I don't know about Atlanta still. I like DeJounte Murray a lot, but I think we saw with Trae Young, like there's only, I don't know. If the way the Heat defended him, I think a lot of teams are going to take some lessons from that. I look at the rest of the East though. I don't see the Knicks as being ultra competitive. I know obviously Donovan Mitchell could end up there. They're going to have two guards, 6-1 or under if they end up bringing him in.
Don't defend very well.
Detroit and Orlando are not ready yet. I will say the one team we haven't mentioned, and they're interesting, is Cleveland. They're interesting because Mobley could take a huge leap in his second season, and he is really good. Jared Allen's really good. They still can play around with the Sexton deal here. Garland's really good. I know people don't want to mention the Cavs, but like I could see the Cavs as a top four seed next year, potentially. And you want to talk about
he's still waiting on the Sexton thing too. He's still a restricted free agent. So I wonder if he has
to bring in additional talent for them though. Yeah. Alex, that's the thing. And
exactly.
But here's the thing. Greg talks about the front court issues. I mean, the Heat want to go match up with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley right now.
The East just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
And I just want to throw in another team that we haven't mentioned.
Chicago.
Chicago is actually another team. I wasn't going that route. I was actually going to say the Nets if Kyrie and KD come back, because Correct. There's still that small percentage of that happening. And I'm not saying everybody's worried about that team with nobody other than their top three stars or two and a half stars, I guess. But the Nets, I guess, are still a team we have to throw in there if that ends up.
Well, they just signed TJ Warren for the minimum too, actually is a useful piece for them if they keep everybody. I know there've been reports in New York that they might. I'm actually up here right now. And there have been reports that they might, but I'll just say this as we go through all of this, and thanks to our sponsors, Prize Picks, use the code 5FIVE, betteredge.com/5reasons. Of course, Water Cleanup of Florida. Also, I should mention Therapist Preferred, use the code 5RSN, number 5RSN. You get 25% off all the premium CBD. I think what we're saying right now is like the Heat could catapult themselves back to the very top of this conference and prohibitive favorites, or we could be talking about, is this a 5 seed? Is this a 6 seed? I think these are reasonable conversations. If they can't figure out a way to then look, quickly pivot. If they don't get Durant or Mitchell, quickly pivot, trade Duncan Robinson at a pick and get yourself a starting four. Like that feels, if that doesn't happen, that's a huge problem. And they're aware of it. Okay. They know it, but I'm just saying like, there is a lot of, I mean, Pat is at the craps table right now. Like that's where he is. Okay. They are rolling the dice.
Is that a report?
What's that?
Is that a report?
Well, he may be. I mean, he was there with Andy that time that LeBron was ignoring them. Look at this. Is this Kyle? You guys just sent this to me. Kyle Lowry, like looks fit.
He does. So that's the game changer in all of this.
The real wheel.
How long has it been? A month? Yeah. Since the end of the season?
I mean, that sounds right. Feels like it's been a lot longer than that. 2 months.
He looks totally different.
The defensive backcourt mate for Donovan Mitchell plugs everything up.
I love how Ethan like this just completely took Ethan off.
I'm sorry. I mean, look, if other things today haven't taken me off my game, then this won't. Okay. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Brady. Thanks for Alex. We're all still here. Check us out on the 5 Reasons YouTube channel as well. Everybody have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.